place like this in all of the earth. We're practicing. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm just practicing. Is this world your home? The old timers used to say, don't put your tent stakes down too deep. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But I've got a home over yonder. Praise God. Once again, we are standing in place of the pastor as he travels for a dedication service, not for a dedication service, an anniversary service, a 20-year anniversary service for friends of theirs, the Fontenots in South Louisiana, and keep the pastor and Sister Sutton in your prayers as they travel. We're going to be reading tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 1. You have any church left in you tonight? Anybody going to preach with the preacher tonight? I need some feedback tonight. Beginning in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Jump down to verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want to preach to you tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost on the subject, a God reality. Look at somebody next to you and say, a God reality. Let's pray. If you'd put your Bibles down, just lift your hands to heaven and let's talk to the Holy Ghost. Jesus, we need you tonight. We need your presence. Come on, everybody, pray right now. We need your presence, God, to move in this place in a mighty way. We desire you, O Lord. Sweep over this house, O God. Bring a resurrection tonight, God. I pray, I prophesy tonight in the name of Jesus that you would resurrect a reality that far supersedes everything around us, God. All of the finite definitions, oh God, that limit us and constrain us, oh God, and hold us back. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would sweep across this church, God, and move in every family, God, and that you would resurrect purpose and hope. And we'll give you the glory for it. Everybody, give him some praise tonight as you're seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you, oh God. We worship you, Jesus. I came tonight with a mandate from the Holy Ghost. I came to ignite somebody's faith in this place. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of God reality. Because the enemy has come in and he's stolen some things. He's touched your life in a way that has caused you to question the veracity of all of this activity. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that you have contemplated in the last couple of weeks. Is all of this necessary? You have questioned doctrine and you've questioned worship and you've looked around you, and because of the disparaging voice of your adversary, you've asked the question, does it take all of this? And you don't even realize why you've asked the question. You've asked, is this extreme response, this crying and shouting and dancing and leaping and running, is all of this essential? A backslidden son may have happened in your life. Somebody may be wayward in your family. You may have a sick loved one, a disappointing marriage, a bad report from the doctor. And all of these things are finite definitions that come in and they attempt to steal our joy. Has anybody ever been to the doctor's office and gotten a bad report? Has anybody ever been through a valley time in your life and you looked around and it made you question some things? It made you reevaluate your life and ask, is all of this necessary? Does God really hear me? All of a sudden, you're standing, your position with God is in question. Does he really love me? Does he care about my trouble? Is all of this really worth it? God wants to redefine your reality tonight. I need you to look at somebody next to you and tell them, I need a God reality. Tell somebody, I'm about to exchange my current reality for a God reality. Judges 6 and verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no substance, neither sheep, neither ox, neither donkey, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished. Somebody say greatly impoverished. Because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. I'm preaching to some people tonight that you were not a people, and God has made you a people. That you didn't have a land, and God gave you a land. That you didn't have a posterity, and God gave you a people. That you didn't have a covenant and God gave you a covenant. I came in under the ordinance of God and under the unction of the Holy Ghost tonight to tell somebody, to remind you that God has been good to you. I know you're going through some trouble right now, but God has made a way where there seemed to be no way, that you had your back up against a wall and you didn't know what way to turn. You had a wall on the left and a wall on the right. You had something on your tail and you didn't have the answer, but God came in and God set you free and God delivered you. You may be going through trouble tonight, but God's not going to leave you in your trouble. You might be having financial problems, but God's not going to leave you in your financial trouble. Somebody tonight, because of disobedience, might be dealing with some mess in your life. But I come to tell you that the same God, He's the God who never changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he delivered you then, he's going to deliver you now. If he made a way then, he's going to make a way now. Somebody who believes it ought to stand on your feet and give God some praise.
That's right, back him up.
And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, the mighty God, thy mighty man of valor. This is news to Gideon. I come to tell somebody that Gideon didn't know this report before it came. He was looking at his own life and he realized, I'm hiding. I am a man afraid. I am a man who is oppressed. I am a man who's connected to something that is disheveled and it's in a mess. My adversary's coming against me and he's pushing back against me. My enemy's coming in and stealing me blind. What? Did you see my current state of affairs? I am hiding. I'm trying not to be noticed. This is crazy, delusional, psychotic, an invisible reality that isn't manifest in real time. You've got to be kidding me. But what the angel of the Lord was telling Gideon is, I've got a reality for you that supersedes your natural reality. I can see something in your future that is possible if I can get you to buy in to what the Holy Ghost is saying. I'm telling somebody, I don't care where your marriage is tonight, the Holy Ghost sent me to I don't care how many mistakes you've made in the past. I don't care how oppressive your adversary is. I don't care how bad the natural circumstance is. God sent me to tell you tonight that if you can see the vision of God that he has for your life, if you can grab a hold of what I'm telling you tonight, he can redefine your reality. He can give you a reality that transcends finite existence, natural circumstance. A God reality. Psychology would tell you that if you believe something that you cannot see, you are at best delusional. And at worst, psychotic. You have some deep-seated psychosis if you believe what you cannot see. I've come to tell somebody the reality that God has for you, you cannot see. The invisible things of the world are clearly seen. We understand that the things that are seen in the world do not come from things which do appear. We understand that God has a reality that supersedes our reality. What God saw for Gideon was not what Gideon saw for himself. But you know what Gideon did? Gideon had a vertical perspective. Gideon was not in a position to barter. He was oppressed by his adversary. He wasn't in a position to negotiate. He was completely back up against a corner. He was hiding in a wine press. He was trying his best to preserve a little grain for his family. But an angel appeared and said, Gideon, if you can see your future the way that I see it, you wouldn't be hiding behind a wine press. If you could see the future that I have for you, you... The church is defined by invisible realities. The Bible tells us that Paul and Silas were locked in jail. They were bound with chains. The first definition that defines the church that is an invisible reality is worship. Because God is a spirit. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit is not a tangible quality. So the first reality, and we did it tonight, for those of you who may be guests in the house tonight, what we did in worship, this is what we did. We understand that God is worthy of praise. We understand that when we worship, we bind the kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron. And so what we do every service when we come into the house of God is first we see him as he is, as he truly is. And what you have to do before you can see God as he really is, you have to look around and realize that there are no finite answers that can help you. Brother Bird, for all the advancements in medicine cannot help you. For all the advancements in psychology cannot help you. All finite systems systems can only bring you to more chaos. All human systems are, the end of those systems is chaos. They can't, medicine may be able to help you with your cancer, but at some point something's going to come along and take your life. Psychology may be able to talk you off the edge of the cliff, but at some point you're going to have some more trouble in your life. And so what the church does is the church gives us a vertical perspective that redefines all of our horizontal existence. I know a very successful therapist who tells his patients, I can't help you with therapy alone. Therapy alone will not fix your problem, because man's problem is not finite. His issue is infinite. You see, when God established man in the garden, he placed him in a perfect state, and God's ideal was that spirit would always drive mankind's action. It was God's ideal that we would first begin every action with vision. First, a vision of God and how high and lifted up he is. And then as an extension of that, all of our relationships are supposed to be right. But see, it was human appetite that created circumstances of the fall. It was Eve saying, I see the fruit. It's observable things. It's finite things. She said, I see the fruit. She said, it's good for food. It's appealing. I want it. I want to possess it. I want to eat it. It's going to make me wise. And so she started rationalizing and analyzing in her life. She took the reality of God that was vertical, and she replaced a vertical perspective with a horizontal one. What she did is she said, I will analyze the tree without the vantage point of God, and I will make a determination based on what I see. And so she began to analyze, and she came to a conclusion that it was good, and it was appealing, and it was right. And all finite activity will at some point create chaos in your life. And so God creates order and structure. God brings perfection out of imperfection. It is mankind in all of his finite attempts that destroys the perfection of God. And so I've come to tell somebody tonight, God wants to redefine your reality. All you can see is the trouble around you, and you can itemize it and you can list it. And there are some people, you have concluded in your mind that the answer to my dilemma and the answer to my struggle and the answer to my trouble is this solution or that solution. But God said, I want you to see me. I want you to see your future. I want you to see your reality as it really is. And when you can do that, when you can buy into it, I will reshape everything about you. I would like for you to do something for just a moment. I would like for you to lift your hands and pray. All across the sanctuary, I want you to pray. In the name of Jesus, speak to us, O God. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Speak to our spirits, oh God. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name, oh God.
When natural analysis motivates decisions, then manipulation occurs. She said, I want to be full, I want to be wise, and I want to possess this fruit. There is a relationship between the vertical and horizontal, the finite and infinite, the physical and spiritual realities. Let me ask you a question tonight. What exactly is real? Is what you can see real, or what you cannot see? What is primary tonight? What can be seen, or what cannot be seen? I've already told you, psychology will tell you to believe in what you cannot see is delusional and psychotic. Delusional, according to psychiatry, is maintaining fixed false beliefs even when confronted with facts, usually as a result of mental illness. Psychotic, according to psychiatry, is a mental disorder characterized by symptoms such as delusions or hallucinations, which indicate impaired contact with reality. These are true definitions, But what of spiritual reality? Scripture tells us God is a spirit, which means he is invisible. John 4:24 says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Worship is a visible manifestation of an invisible reality. David said in Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. We don't need natural answers to the problems that plague this generation. We need God to hover over us like he did over David, to bring us up to a higher dimensional experience. True worship begins with a vertical experience. David said, he brought me up. And then there was a song in my mouth and a praise in my members. And many people are going to see it and fear and trust in the Lord. True worship then is not visible, but it is invisible. What is visible is the manifestation of worship. Also, faith is not visible. Faith is invisible. Faith is a belief in God, a deep-seated emotional experience. And then faith becomes a knowledge base, which overwhelms all negative thoughts and impressions. And then it makes a manifestation in visible reality and invisible form. There is no greater manifestation of faith than dynamic worship. So faith is invisible until the lifespan of that knowledge has become obvious. Somebody say obvious. And then it becomes visible. And then it becomes real. And then it exists in reality. But before you're able to actually see the invisible reality, then believe it to be possible, it is never possible. Until you can see the possibilities that God has for your life, until you can conceptualize them and capture them and take possession of them, they will never become real. You will not become a worshiper on accident. You will not become Christ-like on accident. The default settings aren't programmed for you to accidentally be great. Can I get an amen? Amen. You will not accidentally be a worshiper. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The reality of it is that it is a function of will. It is a knowledge that you understand and you come to grips with. That if my reality is going to be any different, I'm going to be a worshiper. There are some people. There are some people under the sound of my voice tonight that in the last 6 months to a year, you don't even realize it, but something has come and stolen your worship. Something has come and stolen your praise. Life has happened. Circumstances have happened. Things within or outside of your control, either way. And you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to solve it. But I've come to tell somebody tonight, the greatest thing that you could do to change your physical circumstance is to be a worshiper and a praiser. The greatest thing you can do to change. Every service I come in, I will bless the Lord. Listen, I don't care if all you can do is tap your foot. If all you can do is stand up and just lift up a hand to him, God is worthy to be praised. And God wants to create a reality in your life that transcends your current reality. I'm going to follow the outline until I feel a release tonight. See, for David, it was kind of like a wedding vow. At all times means in sickness and in health, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, till death, so shall my worship be expressed. For David was defined by his worship. The Psalms play it out for us. You will never manifest your natural reality that God wants you to manifest until you become a worshiper at all seasons. Brother Cornwell has preached it before, but if you haven't heard it, I've come to remind you. You need to get the Holy Ghost at every season of your life. You need to get filled again with the Spirit of God at every season of your life. You need to let God redefine you at every season. Too many people are defined by the circumstances around them, by the distractions of this generation, where everything is competing for our time and our energy and our passion, where prayer meetings become conversation halls, where worship service becomes a place, it's almost like a hobby. It's like an afterthought. This generation has to make up in its mind that we're going to be defined by the vertical experience of God, by the vertical relationship with God, by a worshiping experience, by a prayerful experience, and that it's going to transcend everything else in our life, that it's going to be more important than football. I said it's going to be more important than football. It's going to be more important than work. It's going to be more important than my hobby. It's going to be more important than my friends. I will. Because your natural mind is enmity against God. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Some people say, well, I'm following my heart. I know that's why your life is in turmoil. That's why your marriage is falling apart. You have to see, believe, then carry out the process of invisible reality until it becomes your reality. Vertical reality is God-centered knowledge followed by faith and process. It's seeing God. And then it's knowing Him. And then it's the application of faith. Every time we come into the house of God and we worship, we are engaging our faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, what? Faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, we get an interesting breakdown in this passage of Scripture about faith. Because we see that faith is a belief, but it's also a substance. So what defined the heroes of faith that we need to understand and know tonight? The first thing that defined them is they all had a vertical experience with God. They all had a visitation from Almighty God. They all were visited by an angel, or visited by an epiphany, or Moses was visited in a burning bush. What you have to understand is that finite means had left Israel in slavery. And it was one man who heard from God and who had a burning bush experience that began to move a nation who all of her finite definitions were negative. She was surrounded by her adversaries. She was enslaved. She was an oppressed people. But one man had a vertical experience with God. One man had a Shekinah moment. One man had a burning bush experience. And that started a process. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. But first, He had to seek God, and then he had to retain God in his knowledge. Romans chapter 1 tells us, for when they knew God, they failed to glorify him as God. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. Every day in every experience, wherever you're going to school, Mario, or working, whatever you're doing, whatever life is bringing your way, it's important to remember, I've got to maintain my knowledge of him. I have to maintain my vision of him. And I've got to apply my faith. I have to put my faith into action. And so this gangly adolescent nation begins to make her way out of Egypt and across the wilderness. Faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And like gangly adolescents tend to do, she murmured the whole time. But one man had a vision. One man retained God in his knowledge. Said, God, I know this is what you want to do. I know, God, and there were so many distractions. And if any generation is surrounded by distractions, we are. There were so many, all they could think about were the leeks and garlics in Egypt. And all we can think about is Netflix and is Facebook and is Twitter and it's all these things. And they're competing for our time. And we just accept the fact because they're finite definitions and they're all around us that we have to have them. So we get a Netflix account and we get a Twitter account and we get an Instagram account. And those things start pulling for our attention, competing for our passion, and the next thing you know, our passion for worship begins to wane, and our passion for prayer begins to wane, and our attention span and life starts to happen and circumstance starts to happen, and then we wonder why there's pressure here and there's trouble here and there are issues here and why kids aren't acting right and why the marriage isn't working right. I've come to tell somebody, God's got a reality for you that's higher than all these things around you. You've got to see it. Got to push back. Faith is substance and faith is evidence. And when faith is finished, there's a manifestation. For Gideon, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that God's going to make a mighty man out of a chicken. It's hard to believe. Sometimes it just takes some crazy faith. I think if we get analyzed correctly by psychiatrists, we should seem a little delusional and a little psychotic. If you knew your pastor's background and history and where he came from, it'd be hard for you to believe God took him that far. The insecurities and the fears, the childhood, God had to, he had to make a bridge over an impassable chasm. He just bought in. Just bought in. What can you see from where you're sitting? Do you see trouble? Do you see frustration, pain, difficulty? Life, all that's around us. We talked about it this morning, but politics are not going to help us. These finite systems, everything you put your trust in, your job that you think is so secure, everything in finite existence tends towards entropy. It's going to break down and fall apart. Everything is. If we're going to transcend all of this stuff, we have to have a vertical perspective. If we're going to be a revival church, we have to see higher than all of these things around us. Have you seen all of the miracles that you want to see yet? Have you seen all of the revival that you want to see yet? What does God want to do with your life? Can you see it?
Anybody have a dream? Raise your hand if you have a dream. A God dream can become reality when we spend every day of our life holding it up, believing God, trusting God, engaging faith, rejecting false knowledge. False knowledge that says there are answers outside of God. False knowledge that says there's a better way. False knowledge sometimes comes in relationships. Friends who tell you, you know what, girl, all you need is a man. If you had a man, it would be straight. You would have everything you need. Guys, false knowledge is you just need a girl. If you had a girl, everything would be in order. You'd have everything you need. I've got a wonderful wife. She's my better half. Qualifiers are all in place. But a relationship's not going to change your walk with God. It's not going to change your spirituality. It's not going to give you a transcendent response. If you've got trouble and chaos in your life right now, it is the result of bad ideas. Whether on your part or on somebody else's. Am I right? You don't need any more bad ideas. God's got a plan for your life. He has a reality that supersedes the reality that you're living in now. Has anybody ever been afraid to tell everybody about your dream? Anybody? Why? Does it seem a little bit psychotic? A little bit delusional? This activity right here was very delusional. Where's Sister Bonnie? Me preaching, that was kind of delusional, wasn't it? Hallelujah. God is so merciful. He is so benevolent and kind and good and so much better than we are. And He knows. He knows crazy stuff that we don't know. Like, I wouldn't have planned this life out for myself. But I do remember God speaking. I do remember Him crashing in the middle of my chaos and telling me, hey, one day, He laid it out for me. And I felt kind of like Sarah. I laughed. Well, I was crying, but I laughed inside. That God sees a reality for us that we can't see. God has an ideal existence for us that we can't comprehend. We need Him. We need God to preserve my generation, Jeff. To preserve us. Brother Matt. To preserve this for them. For them. Sister Chrissy. For them, for the children, for Ben, Taylor, Sophie, Jax. We don't need everybody to go off and get an education and get smarter necessarily. Education's good. But even education will bring you to a chaotic end. Education does not bring answers. This generation needs to understand something. We need God. We need God to hover over us. Like David, he said, He picked me up. When God comes, it's going to always be vertical. It's going to always be an elevation of our perspective. It's going to always be a preacher that comes along and says, hey guys, look up. And when that happens, we appropriate it. We buy into it. Let me ask you a question. Where in your life have you bought in to the vision of God? Now that is not a pejorative or negative statement. That's a question. That's a self-analysis. I do this on a regular basis for myself. Where have I personally bought in to the plan of God? And when I say bought in, I mean, where have I made a decision that this is my church? Brother Bart, this is my youth group. Brother Adrian, this is my revival. Where have we personally bought in and said, if pastor's not there, I'm there? Right? Who turns on the air when he's not here? Who turns on the baptistry? Who turns on the lights? We got ladies cooking next door. We have all kinds of things going on. But see, what you have to realize, you don't need a man. You need a mission. You need a mission. You need to buy in. And we talked about this, and I'm gonna finish this up. You guys are going to get out really early tonight. Well, it's not over yet. Okay. You need a mission. And we talked about the fact that you only have a handful of hours in the day, at the end of the day. You only have so much time to invest, disposable time. If we spend 8 hours sleeping and 8 hours working and Sister Michelle going to school, where is the time? So that's 16 hours, then we spend 3 hours, three meals, 3 hours. It's 19. 5 hours. That's what we have left at the end of the day. And that's the system that God created. And see, I actually read an article from a man by Brother Jeremy Painter. He's a very, very bright guy. He talked about slothfulness, and he was looking at a medieval painting, and there was a snail in the bottom of the painting. And in his analysis of that vice, he said, you know, I can see where slothfulness would be defined by a snail, but before it's a snail, it's a cheetah. He said, see, before we get lethargic and sluggish and slow and tired, we get busy. One of the most enlightening articles I've read in a long time. Because I think everybody under the sound of my voice can say, before I got tired, I got way busy. And he said, what we get busy with is a bunch of stuff that has no eternal value. Just stuff. And we get busy, 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 so we're running from one activity to the next. And we're back and forth and left and right. And so we just get so busy, we get tired. And then we come to the house of God and it's, man, how's life? Oh, brother, busy. Busy, busy. But what is it? We have to analyze ourselves, because we have to be introspective and look at our life and ask ourselves the question, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What is it that I'm doing that has eternal consequence? Brother Matt, Brother Jeff, how is it that we are preserving this truth for the next generation? How is it that we are seeing him and then retaining him in our knowledge and then engaging faith and then manifesting a reality that transcends finite existence? Where have I bought into the degree that this, is there something, listen to me, my generation, listen to me, is there something that you are so invested in that it keeps you up at night? Is there something that you're so invested in that you will miss something fun to do that activity? I'm talking about something that you have purchased with your life, that you have made a decision. This is my ministry. This is my manifestation of the glory of God.
Is there something that you will tell your boss, I cannot work late tonight because this is the center of my life? Just asking. Have you purchased it? Is it yours? Does the pastor know where this activity is concerned and this ministry is concerned, I am here? That's a good question. Commitment. Commitment. What am I committed to? What have I purchased? What have I made my possession? How am I manifesting an infinite reality so that the world can see it? Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Lindsay, help us. Y'all want to read the end of Gideon's story? Maybe pump you up a little bit? Is everybody depressed? God takes Gideon's army. First, he gives him a vision. Gideon, you're a mighty man. You're going to do great things. You're going to deliver Israel. And then he says, rally these men, and Gideon rallies a bunch of men, and God continues to winnow the numbers down, because what you have to realize is that when God's involved, he doesn't need all of your energy. He just needs your faithfulness. If you'll be here at the time appointed, I'll fight the battle. God would be defined by psychology as psychotic. He sends the choir into battle. Who sends the choir into battle? God doesn't need the swords and the spears. God said, I'm going to send them in. They're going to shout, break pitchers, throw lights around, and everybody's going to get confused, and they're going to run around and kill each other. That's kind of crazy, but that's how God works. All God needs is for a man or woman to be faithful. Now, what I want to know tonight is, does anybody want God to define your reality? Does anybody want God to write the story of your life? Come on, let's stand up for just a moment. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Speak to our hearts tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify. Come on, I need some shouting music. I need some shouting music. Shout, shout, shout. We understand something, that if we're going to go into battle, the number one thing that we need is a praise. And there's some people under the sound of my voice. It may have been a while since you got a good shout on. What we're going to do in the altar call tonight is, you're going to come to the front if you want to just let loose and worship God and take some victory and dominion over some things in your life, and make up your mind that I'm going to praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Does anybody want to come and stake a claim on this tonight? Take possession of it with your praise. Come on, I need some young people to come up and stake a claim on this tonight, to say, this is my city. This is my revival. This is my move of God. I've got a God reality. Come on, if you're standing with your family, you're standing by somebody next to you, why don't you take their hand and just worship God? Oh, we magnify your name, oh God. Does anybody have the victory tonight?
Yeah.
Listen, listen. I need you right now. I need you to think about in your mind what's been messing with your family. I need somebody to think about in your mind the thing that's been plaguing you. I want everybody across the house, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about the promises that God's made to you. The things that He's given you dominion and victory over, but you haven't seen it happen yet. Come on, the revival that God wants to bring to this city. I want you to envision it right now. Can you see this house filled up with people? Can you see the buses filled up? Can you see full of Bible studies? Can you see a Spanish revival? Can you see a revival in the youth group? Can you see it? Can you see a revival in your school? Now I want you to give God some praise for it right now. I want you to take possession of it. Possess it in your mind. And activate your faith.
I got the victory.
Tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship your name, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name, oh God. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Come on, can you see this building full? Can you see this wall gone? Can you see the other building full? Can you see prayer rooms full of the next generation praying, talking in tongues, having dominion, having victory? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see your life? Can you see your life making that a reality? You. Can you see your life making that a reality? Brother Jermaine, can you see your ministry making praying babies in the altar a reality? Brother Bert, can you see your home being a place it already is, but continuing to be a place of fellowship and love and camaraderie? Can you see? Mario, can you see your hands laying on the sick and them recovering? Can you see? Can you see it? Look at somebody and say, a God reality. His ways are high. Come on, tell him his ways are higher than my ways. Even as the heavens are above the earth. I don't want a finite reality. I want an infinite reality. God bless you. I love this church. This church is my spiritual mother. I am so glad, but listen to me. I am so glad to have walked with you everywhere that we've gone. But I cannot wait to see where we are about to go. There's a portal open right now in the spirit. I need you to look up and see him. Jesus, hover over this place tonight, God. Oh, surround us, oh God. Somebody right now, close your eyes and open up your spirit to God. Come on, open up your heart to him right now. Let God show you something. Let him speak into your life. Oh, surround me, Jesus. Oh, surround me, oh God. Why don't you find somebody to pray with right now? Find somebody to lay your hands on, to link up with all across the house. Thank you.
Come on, go ahead and push in this house. The word of the Lord went forth a God reality. But you got to tear down that old construct. God wants to birth and build something brand new in you. He wants to build his vision. He wants to... But it takes some work. You got to tear down. Come on, you need to dig deep in the house tonight. Yes. Break open that alabaster box. Come on, you got to let go of some old constructs. You got to let go of some old realities. Lay them down on the altar. Lay them down on the altar. That old way of thinking has to die. That insecurity has to die, Gideon. That insecurity has to die. Come on, allow the breath of God to redefine you. You thought you knew what you needed. God knows what you need. Come on, do the work. Do the work. Come on, let some things die in this altar. Some ways of thinking. Some prejudices. Some insecurities. You gotta tear yourself down so he can build you back up. Hey, Rojo Sandarolo.